Because she was a butterfly.
I changed my phone so that every time I type God, it changes it to goats because I think that's funny.
So it's like, oh my goat.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're live at Convergence. We talk with Cammy Lyon about how Skepticon got started, coming out as an atheist, and hamburgers. Mmm, hamburgers.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God, episode 2. We are in Geek and Atheist podcast, and we are here recording live at Convergence. And our guest today is skeptic Cammy Lyon, and she is here to talk about all things geek, sundry, and atheist. So the podcasters here are Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm Tim.
And my husband?
Nick Glover.
And I'm Molly Glover. So thank you. And this is the first time I've ever done an introduction to a podcast ever, so
I apologize. Totally didn't suck. You
awesome.
Did a great job.
All right. So we're here with Cammy. And Cammy, how is the con going for you so far?
I'm really having a great time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You can hear it in your voice.
No, seriously, like... 2-3 days ago, I was like, no, I just want it to be over because the lead up is so stressful. But yeah. Everything, I should have had faith. I know we're not supposed to say that. here's what I should have had faith in. Convergence rocks so fucking hard. I should have just remembered. Yeah. I should have just remembered that it was going to be love.
That's not faith. That's making an opinion based on previous experience.
You're right, Nick. Thank you for that correction.
So that actually leads me to a question that I have for you, which is, we recently had this conversation just amongst ourselves casually, which is, you say, like, you know, I'm not supposed to say, have faith, right? And I know, but there is this idea out there that, like, if you're an atheist, you can't say, oh my God, or Jesus fucking Christ, or whatever, as like an oath, which I say
I'm pretty sure as an atheist you can say Jesus fucking Christ.
Right.
I think that's okay.
There's also this, there was this recent story where a guy, a senator or something was saying, there's no such thing as atheists because otherwise they wouldn't use money because it says in God we trust them.
Yeah. If you're using money, you're not a real atheist.
Right.
You secretly believe in God.
Like, do you feel that there is anything that as an atheist or a skeptic that you shouldn't say, or that maybe like sounds like you should try to keep out of your vocabulary at all?
No, I think that the thing is that whether, you know, obviously we disagree, but the fact is that these are idioms that are in our
exactly.
language.
Exactly. That's how I feel, yeah. too.
You can't avoid them. They don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're useful, right?
Yeah.
Also, you know, it's if you slip and say one, particularly around a theist, you can always use it as a jab.
Absolutely.
it takes too much energy to try to fight the language of, you know, that I grew up with.
Well, and then I think a lot of us, I mean, a lot of the atheists I know were either raised theist or raised in America, which means, you know, you're just raised around a theist culture. So as a result, you know, that just gets in your language. You know, you say, oh my God, you know, you don't say, oh my gosh, or oh geez.
Oh golly.
Oh universe, golly. You bastard.
Although.
Damn random chance.
I think, oh universe, you bastard. That's kind of good, though.
It's bumper sticker time. Yeah.
So Cammy, here at Convergence, you are, it's fair to say, you're the primary organizer of SkepticCon, correct?
That is correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about what SkepticCon is in relation to Convergence?
Yes, can I start with talking about what Skeptic is?
Please do.
Yes. All right. Well, Skeptic.org is a blog that was started by Rebecca Watson. I actually don't know how many years ago. And what Rebecca started out to do was talk about skepticism and sometimes atheism with her own snarky wit and sense of humor, which is really fabulous, by the way. And so it's been going on for several years, and what we've evolved into is we talk about skepticism, atheism, promoting science, rational thought, critical thinking, and the last couple of years we've started pushing hard on really important issues like feminism, particularly, but bringing social diversity into our community, the skeptical and atheist community. And I don't know how familiar everybody is with the skeptical community and what's been happening, but you know, we almost have to include as part of our definition now the whole feminism thing and the way that social diversity, pro-social diversity people in the movement have been attacked for trying to bring very simple, important things to the movement. So that's skeptic.
For those of us who maybe aren't as familiar, is what's been going on. Like, can you give it, like, an example? I mean, you don't have to name names, but, like, what sorts of things have been happening that have prompted this inclusion of specifically feminism and the whole, like, costumes aren't consent and this, like, movement that you guys have going on?
Well, I think the first thing that happened that really brought it for, like, right to the front was Rebecca related an incident where she was made to feel uncomfortable in a situation and by a male.
And I remember seeing that, in which she basically just said, this made me uncomfortable. This would make most anyone uncomfortable. Guys, you probably shouldn't do that.
Hey, guys.
I mean, it was really pretty neutral. And
yeah.
I thought, this is a comedy podcast, so and this isn't funny, but I thought, I was watching it, and I thought, what she's trying to do is say, hey, guys, here's some advice on how to get laid.
Or how not to get, like, and punched, at least.
Yeah.
You know, common courtesy.
It's also saying, do you want to actually have a decent relationship with a woman? Let me give you some advice as to how that can happen.
And you're exactly right. And that was the thing I was going to say. She said, guys, don't do that. And it was essentially a helping tip. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was she had turned over a rock and all sorts of creepy shit came crawling out from under it.
Mm-hmm.
And the attack has been sustained for the entire year. And it's vicious and
the
vile.
Attack being people's response.
She gets
constant
emails, threats, horrible name calling. It's been constant. And then, you know, other women started to speak up, and they're being attacked too. So, I mean, I don't want to focus on solely.
I just want to make sure everyone understood what was
but
going on.
But I mean, it's a big part of Skeptic right now. So, I mean, it's important to know this is going on.
And our social diversity goals, they're really important to us. So, and that's kind of what fuels it a bit. So then, 4 years ago, one of the Skeptics, Carrie, suggested, hey, let's check out this convergence thing. I don't know who's heard of Dragon Con, but a podcast called Skepticality started what they call the Skept Track at Dragon Con. I love how I don't have to explain tracks to people. Like, in my wider world,
for those of you listening to the podcast who don't understand, it's something trains run on. Thank you.
Also people, Tim. People.
And so they started this where they set up basically a whole skeptical track within Dragon Con, because the thought is, which we do think is true, is that the science fiction fantasy community is a valuable place to do outreach. There's a lot of people in the science fiction fantasy community that don't even know that they're skeptics, right? They don't know that there's a word for it. They don't know about the communities. And
but I think I find in this community that the percentage of skeptics and atheists is higher
than
other communities.
They
in
also
the community
may not
large.
Know they're creepy.
What?
I mean, they may not know they're being creepy, and so that's also good outreach, you know, is to be like, just so you know, don't.
Also, if there's any crowd that could use help
Laurie,
getting laid.
Yeah.
Our friend Laurie described to her boss, she said, going to Convergence is going to a weekend-long convention with 5,000 to 6,000 people who are somewhere on the autism scale.
Describes me quite well.
and going to any skeptical or atheist convention is 5,000 to 6,000 people that are very high up on the pedantic scale.
I think you mean the pedant scale.
That's my second correction.
I can't resist.
I know, I'm humbled. So we decided that what we wanted to do, Skeptic wanted to organize one within Convergence. And I don't know exactly how Carrie got in touch with you guys because I came in.
It was actually through Melissa, who was a guest on our first podcast and isn't on this one, but is sitting right next to us and not allowed to speak. So,
goddamn!
Shut up!
Quit voicing Melissa, Tim.
I think you should be more specific. She's not allowed to speak, but also she has that kazoo over there.
Don't use the kazoo.
Add a kazoo clause.
It was through Melissa. Melissa, I was the programming head, one of the programming co-heads at the time, and Melissa contacted me and said, this group wants to do it. And got me in touch with Carrie. So there, I'm filling in the blanks there. And please go on.
So then I met Carrie and became friends, and she invited me to come help. And she put me to work as the party hostess, which meant stand outside the door and get people to come into her party. Because mm-hmm. she said, you're not shy. And I said, that's right, I'm not. So so we've grown every year.
Yeah.
I only have the number. Last year is when I started running it. Mm-hmm. And I stepped in like a few months before and basically took over and added some things and made it bigger. But last year we had 11 panels that we had proposed and sort of, I guess, sponsored.
Kind of sponsored, yeah.
On science and skepticism. We try to stick with mostly science, but we slipped some skepticism and some atheism in there. Last year we brought Amanda Marcotte in and some other awesome people to talk about women in atheism.
Mm-hmm. This year you brought in Maggie Korth-Baker, right?
We brought Maggie Korth-Baker because this year, last year we had 11 panels, this year we have 17, so we're super excited about the growth and completely honored.
They proposed like 80. I'm just saying. And they were all awesome. I'm like, I would love to do all of these, but let's be realistic.
Could you just pick 15, he said. Right, okay, we could do that. So so we basically... We come up with some ideas for science panels. We come up with some ideas for people to sit on them. And then we bring in some special guests. And we wanted to focus on climate change this year because we did a climate change panel last year that was very well received for 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was kind of a last-minute ad.
Yeah, and but there were a lot of people that were interested, and we brought in. There was a guy named John Abraham who will be here today at 12:30 for our climate change panel. And Birchick was on it, Sharon Stittler, and Greg Layden, I think, and somebody else. It was a long time ago. Anyhow, it was very popular. But we think that climate change is a really important topic.
Melissa was on it.
Melissa who now?
I don't know.
It's not important.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melissa. We love you. So so climate change. So when we were thinking about names for climate change, a guy who works, who does deco for our party room, suggested Maggie Korth-Baker because she's local. So we contacted her, and she has been really wonderful. She's so funny. I turned her loose from some panels yesterday, and she'd never been to a science fiction fantasy convention before, and then I walked into my party later on, and she was there, and she just slapped me on the shoulder. She said, thank you so much. And I said, you're welcome. What for? She said, I'm having so much fun. And then she disappeared.
I think it's important to note that she probably, you had liquored her up pretty well by that point, hadn't you?
I do like to treat my guests specially. I have a special guest policy. We'll do anything they want to make them have a good time.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she was doing a physiology of drugs and alcohol panel last night.
So it was research. It was research.
Right, and she said, I might need some booze for this. And I said, tell me what you want. She said, bourbon. And I sent our resident mixologist out.
I like her already.
I said, get her the best thing they've got, and... turned it loose, yeah. So, so lots of science and science panels this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, it has grown every year. And we had to move you into a bigger room this year because last year the room you were in, you filled for pretty much every panel we did. And this year, the bigger room you're in, which is the biggest room we can give you, you filled. apparently the only thing more popular than the Skeptic track at Convergence is vilification tennis.
Those assholes aren't funny at all.
This year.
This one.
Challenge accepted.
There's going to be like a Venn diagram panel here where it's like, how fat is your mom, and would she actually collapse into a black hole?
Science of Your Fat Mom.
That's on the panel list.
I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, I think
our
that
powers
needs to
combined.
I'm writing it down.
Melissa will sit it. She'll sit anything.
Speaking of,
if you know what I mean.
Speaking as vilifiers, Molly and Nick and I are all vilifiers. I have to say that, you know, we relate to your idea of diversity.
in a very fucked up way.
Yeah.
In a very fucked up way.
You know, and I'm sorry, I'm going to open up to questions in just a minute, but I have to relate this story about Cammie. Cammie and I have been working together for a couple of years, so I know Cammie pretty well. Cammie, you've known me for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, and you're like my savior. I write you an email about convergence stuff, and you do it. And
I know, and
awesome.
It's because I love you. But here's the thing: when did you learn that I do vilification tennis?
5 days ago.
Awesome. And how long have you been a fan of vilification tennis?
Well, I hit like 10 years.
So a pretty hardcore
that's,
fan,
yeah.
Then.
Like, that's fantastic.
No,
it's the hat.
All I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is I can disappear into a character. That's. So we're gonna take
Thomas.
We're gonna take a few minutes and see if anybody has any questions, and then we have some questions for Cammie.
Can I just really quickly plug? Besides science tracks during the day, our whole goal is education and outreach. And in that vein, we host a really kick-ass party room.
Oh yeah,
we're in 227, and this year we collaborated with the Free Thought Blogs. You've heard of a guy named what's his name again?
Frank.
Yeah, Myers somebody. That's spelled M-E-Y-E-R-S. Anyhow, so we're right next door to each other, and it's a killer party, and we'd love to see everybody.
And of course, when you're listening to this podcast, you will have already missed it, but hopefully there will be a Convergence 2013.
There will definitely be, and you can come then.
And you're at skeptic.org, but does anybody have any questions? Yes.
So for the July 4th, I went and hung out with my parents and had a barbecue where my aunt was present. My mom set me up to debate my creationist aunt.
Set you up.
She literally said, "Hey, aunt, ask him about and go." And we spent an hour and a half with my mom poking the bear. And so my question is, when you're put in that situation, when you'd like, it's someone you care about, and you'd like to teach them the beauty of science and truth, is there a strategy you think is the best way to approach that, and what is it?
Well, okay. I think that people are generally tempted to try to do it head on, but I think we're tempted to do that whatever the question that we're trying to persuade somebody of. Here's the thing about getting people to think rationally, which I think leads on to giving up faith in God, and that is to plant a seed of doubt. That's all you have to do. You plant the seed, and then the next skeptical atheist person will water it. And then the next one will water it a little more. And pretty soon, the tree is going to break their rock. It's as simple as that. And if you can get them young, if you can get them really young, people are like, how do you raise children to be atheists and skeptics? And I say, this is so simple, I don't even think about it. You just tell them from the beginning, that is a story that other people believe. That's it. That's what I told my son. That's it. And then we explained to him a little bit about how he's going to run into it in the culture, but that's it.
So I think my feeling about that, too, is you got to avoid attacking the person. It's like, just say, you know, and make it really clear, I like you, but I don't agree with you, and here's why.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't make it about you're a bad person for being a creationist, even if, you know, that's true. but as long as you don't make them feel like they're a horrible person because they believe something different than you are, then a dialogue can be useful and you can get that seed planted. But the moment you make it into an attack on them, they're going to just shut down.
Yeah. They won't listen to anything else you have to say because it's a personal attack.
I would like to quickly interject, though, that there is a place for that kind of tactic. I mean, I think that PZ is very successful with his aggressive atheism and Hitchens, that sort of thing. So,
sure.
So I think that all the tools are valuable, and that's one of them.
I think along the lines of people who care about you, who disagree with your worldview,
If you have people who you care about that won't leave you alone, won't stop badgering you about being an atheist, won't stop making fun of you for being an atheist, is there a way to approach it without creating something hostile when they're kind of attacking what you're doing?
I think please stop.
I've actually run into some of this, and it's slightly different, but I think I feel it applies. And that's, so my mom and my stepmom I have two little sisters that they adopted together. And they've had to explain things to them recently, they're 6 and 11, about like the marriage amendment for Minnesota.
Vote which, no on November 6th.
Vote no, obviously.
No.
And they've found that asking questions like, do you think I'm a bad person despite the fact that we don't believe the same thing? Do you feel like I'm creating harm? Mm-hmm. Do you think that I've done anything to deserve going to hell for? Mm-hmm. And that's a way of, you're not stating facts about their beliefs. You're asking them questions. You're presenting in an inquisitive manner, like you're trying to understand what they believe. But at the same time, when they try to think about what they believe, they'll question it themselves a little bit. Because, I mean, obviously, if your family loves you and you disagree on whatever it is, if you can say, look, you know, just because we believe different things doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Or do you actually think that? And I think if they love you, they'll probably say that, you know, well, obviously you're not a bad person. I just am really worried about you. I just really care about you.
And then
you can... Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting. No. Then the other thing, that if you can't get people to come around, there's something really important that I think about. It's actually my motto about sexuality and sexual partners. It's always respect yourself, respect your partner. Mm-hmm. It's always about respect yourself, and you have to have other people respect you too. Mm-hmm. You have to adopt a lifestyle, a life way of being where people respect you. And if they don't, sometimes you have to give them less of your energy.
I was just going to say, thing is, it's not on you to get them to appreciate you and respect you for who you are and what you believe. It's on them. And so you just have to just be who you are and be confident and strong. And the thing is, if they don't come around, they don't come around. And they're the ones suffering for not getting to be around you and getting to experience how awesome you are.
I think the first thing you have to do is you have to embrace yourself. You have to be comfortable with who you are. And be upfront about it.
Those people will be a sink for your energy and your time. And some of them, you'll never change their mind and they'll never accept it. And there's kind of nothing you can do about that. And you can do as much as you want, but it might get to a point where you have to limit your contact with them, mm-hmm. your exposure to them, because it'll impact the quality of your life.
And every time they bring it up, give them a hug and tell them how great their hair looks today.
Even if it looks like Matt's.
Some of us like mohawks.
I gotta say, this is a great conversation, but we're winding down. We've got hands, and I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you. I'm sorry, guys. We do have 5 questions for Cammie. I'm going to pass it over. Molly, why don't you ask the first question
this time?
All right,
first question is, what was the best movie you've seen in the last month?
Brave.
Brave.
Cool.
Brave. I liked Brave.
I loved Brave. I loved Brave so much. Damn it. I want to talk about it.
There's fine. I've already.
You and I can talk about it.
There's been some great Meredith cosplay.
I had
a good costume show.
I put a Google alert up. I don't get to see a lot of movies. I have a 7-year-old now, and I don't like to deal with babysitters and shit, so we just wait for them to come out on Netflix. But I put a Google alert. It was coming up. I wanted to see Brave so bad. And it did not disappoint in any way.
Awesome.
It's beautifully made, and the feminist things, feminist themes are the strong woman, the strong female child, the family themes, they're solid. And they're beautiful.
The mother-daughter relationship.
I blogged about Brave and the feminist themes in Brave. I was very impressed with that film.
Okay, are we done with questions now?
No.
So the second question we have is, what's your favorite atheist character?
Hitchens. But I'm going to say this. I don't think he's a character, but he's my favorite atheist. He was probably one of the most brilliant men ever to live.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of his philosophies. His use of the language was so lovely and powerful. Mm-hmm. And I still fucking get choked up.
It's nice to hear another female comedian who, like, or someone who appreciates comedy who thinks that Hitch was awesome. Because I hear a lot of women who are, like, very angry about him and things he might have said that they took, like,
claims of misogyny.
I am going to get kicked out of the community for saying this, but I think that joke was widely misunderstood.
I don't think he
hated women.
No, not at all.
I don't think he didn't think women were funny.
I think he liked debate people.
Yes, exactly. I think that Hitchens was motivated by love for the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my
awesome. You wouldn't necessarily know it from the, like, his tone in how he spoke, but you know.
You gotta listen to his words. He's always like, don't be sheep, don't bow, stand up.
Mm-hmm. All right, I get to ask you the next question. All right, what is your weirdest or geekiest hobby?
Okay. I know.
It's all right. We can edit out the silence.
None of them are particularly weird. I knit.
That is super geeky.
That's geeky.
It's like it amazes me that we don't walk out of the weekend of Convergence with everybody in the entire fucking convention having a new pair of socks.
Oh no! No! Everybody with a new Doctor Who scarf.
A new Doctor Who.
I'm like halfway through knitting the world's longest Doctor Who scarf for the world's tallest dude, which is Nick. Like, it is so long.
She's doing an actual Tom Baker scarf for me.
I'm gonna say
awesome.
That is real love. That's like 4 yards of knit.
Yeah. I think the total is like 1,800.
And she's doing the double width.
It's 1,800 rows, and it's 60 stitches on a row.
Back in the 80s, my great aunt knitted a Doctor Who scarf for me for a Christmas present.
Oh, man.
And literally, she was knitting this, and she kept asking my parents, does he really want it this long?
She asked that every foot.
And my parents were like, yes.
All right. What is your favorite sandwich?
I love a big, juicy half raw burger.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And I love favorite place to get burgers around here.
My husband's barbecue.
Oh,
right.
We call it miracle meat at our house.
What do you put on your
burger? I bet that's not the only thing you call miracle meat in your house.
My husband.
Tim, you can't say miracle. You're an atheist.
What do you put on your burger?
Okay, so you need a nice bun, and it gets mayo, barbecue sauce, pickle slices, and that's it.
I'm down with that.
It's got to be thick.
When's the barbecue?
Sunday afternoon at my
house.
Sweet! It's always at my house the Sunday after, and here's what happens. I sit in the middle, and people bring me shit. because that's what I do all weekend for everybody.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's good. The last question is, what is the stupidest thing anyone has ever said to you about your atheism or skepticism?
Oh, okay. So this is my super pet peeve about talking to people about. They say, what do you get together for? I mean, what do you do? Do you all just sit around and talk about how there's no God? And I'm like, what do you even get out of bed for? Do you just wake up to be this stupid? this thoughtless, this self-centered of your own worldview? No, we don't talk about there's no God. That's the basic given. What we talk about is how to push you bastards back in our government.
Yeah,
right.
That's what we talk about.
Awesome. Well, again, I want to thank you for everything you do. Skeptic Con is awesome. Your panels have been terrific. So, Cammie Lyon, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Cammie.
Thank you.
Excuse me. You can find Cammie and many other skeptics at skeptic.org.
You can find Tim Wick's blog that he talked about at petsnakereggie.com.
And, of course, we are Geeks Without God, and you can find us at geekswithoutgod.com.
And on Twitter, at Geeks Without God. Follow us.
Thanks to Melissa Kerscher for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Are we done?
I don't know.